And so I had a home inspection and it was fine. Nothing glaring came up. There was a mention in the inspection there was like a little spot of mold under the kitchen sink. My response was, okay, we'll have that portion fixed. That's like a repair request I'd like to have. And then we continued on. The home was mine. And we go in day one to demo the kitchen. I got a text, all of these photos, the kitchen, once the cabinetry was removed, floor to ceiling on all three walls of the kitchen was black, pink, purple mold. It was everywhere.
Hey there, my name is Wendy, and I'm an environmental toxins lawyer who is obsessed with showing women how to toss the toxins out of their life and embrace a more holistic lifestyle. I'll be dishing up bite-sized but binge-worthy episodes on all things detox, low tox, and what's that toxin? And what is it really doing to my health? I'm breaking it all down for you, separating the myths from the facts and pulling back the curtain on the products and beauty industry. You'll hear my unfiltered and sometimes unpopular, but honest opinions. No topic is off limits. We'll dive into what's really causing our thyroid issues, hormone imbalances, infertility, and more. Think of it as a crash course for all things holistic living, but for real life. You don't have to do everything. You just have to start somewhere. Let me show you how. This is the Detox Dilemma Podcast. All right, Christine, welcome to the Detox Dilemma Podcast. I am so excited to have you here. And when I very first found you on Instagram, your title on your Instagram, it says you are a healthy home contractor and holistic realtor. And I immediately was like, we need to be friends. But what is that? What exactly is that? What do you do?
Okay, great question, because I haven't found anyone else in this space and there needs to be. So I am a licensed contractor and licensed realtor here in Southern California. But what makes me different is I am holistic focused. So I am a holistic contractor, a healthy home contractor, whatever this name is that we're going to come up with. But the focus is the health of your home. And it's just not happening enough out there.
No, it's not. I absolutely love that. So what brought you to this? Like, why do you do this? Was there something in your history, in your life? Like, did you just wake up one day as a realtor and you're like, you know what? I really just care about the health of people's homes. Like, how did you get to that place?
Okay, great question. Because I've been in this space for 15 years. My background is in construction. I started out on like the material supplier side. I've worked for numerous other contractors on their job sites and really got my eyes and my hands in the mix of things. But it didn't really start to click for me until 2011, 2012. I purchased my first home. I was so excited. It was this tiny little condo. And I knew we were going to go in and renovate it and do all these things that I wanted to do. And so during the process, right, when you're purchasing a home, you have an inspection, you have all of these checkpoints. And so I had a home inspection and it was fine. Nothing glaring came up. There was a mention in the inspection there was like a little spot of mold under the kitchen sink. And so my response was, okay, we'll have that portion fixed. That's like a repair request I'd like to have. And then we continued on and the home was mine. And we go in day one to demo the kitchen. And I was going to put in this new beautiful kitchen. And I just remember I got a text, all of these photos, the kitchen, once the cabinetry was removed, floor to ceiling on all three walls of the kitchen was black, pink, purple mold. It was everywhere. And I remember just thinking like, how did this happen? Nothing was visible. Nobody told me about this. And I remember feeling really let down. I was like, how did this just happen? I just bought my first home and it's riddled with mold. What do I do? Thankfully, I had that inspection report and I had that repair request to fix that little spot of mold under the kitchen sink. The way that it was fixed and cleared unbeknownst to me, was they had painted over it. So I was able to go back, and in the end, it was all remediated and resolved. But I remember just thinking, like, what is one to do if you purchase this home and now you have mold in it? Just think, if I never went to renovate that home, I would never know about it. It was, nothing was visible. I just remember thinking, like, this is a terrible feeling, and I'm on a mission. Like, nobody else is going to have to deal with this. And it's just grown over the last decade plus of just, we need to know what is going on in our homes. We need to have these checkpoints to protect us. Purchasing your home is a really large investment, and you need to have these safeguards in place. So to answer the question, because I get this often, of what caused all that mold? What was it? It was a second story toilet that had a very slow leak and a slow leak and a slow, and it was never detected. So this slow leak went down the wall into the kitchen, and basically every time the toilet was flushed over however many years, water was just in the wall. So long story short, I'm out there to make sure that homes are healthy and that this isn't a thing for other people.
Now that you do what you do, what do you wish you would have done differently? Like, what advice do you give? Like, if somebody's just buying a home and, like, you know, a turnkey home, something that maybe is like a few years old or just built or anything like that, what advice do you give to people when they're buying homes to make sure that something like that doesn't happen to them?
So my advice, whether you're purchasing a home, renovating, doing a new build, anything involving your home, truly, you have to have a team on your side. And people get confused that, well, that's my contractor. My contractor knows what he's doing. He's looking out for me. Or that's my realtor. That's what they're there for. They're working for me. They're protecting me. And most of the time, they're not doing it maliciously. But these businesses, right? A contractor and a realtor, these businesses are not looking out for you in the way that you should be looked out for. Sometimes because they just don't know what to look for, right? A realtor is going to defer to a home inspector. A contractor, he's not the one physically with his hands building your home. So you have to have a team that is going to provide these checks along the way. Whether you're purchasing a home, maybe that's having a mold inspection done. Maybe that's having other testing besides just a home inspection, like having these
additional things.
Yeah. These additional points of check. And same with a contractor. You have to have a team on your side that's almost going to oversee your entire construction project.
Yeah. I would say if I were to ever purchase a house now, I would 100% never buy a house without bringing in somebody who I was paying to do a full mold inspection. I just think that it's such a risk to your health. And the other thing is, and you and I have talked about this offline, that it's a way more widespread issue than people think. Like, there's a lot of people on the internet talking about mold toxicity and people who have mold issues. And I think that most people feel like, well, I can't see any mold in my house and I'm not sick. I'm not like debilitatedly sick. I don't have anything that would make me believe that there is mold in my house, but that doesn't mean there's not mold in your house and that it's not impacting your health. How widespread do you think mold is in homes?
Oh, and I hate to say this, but this is just what I've seen. Every home is going to have some level of mold, right? We're not trying to create a sterile environment. And some people are going to be more susceptible to it than others. That's why sometimes a lot of cases I see where the husband is feeling fine, but the wife is really feeling ill. And it's just because our bodies are different. Our toxic burdens are different, right? So it's pretty common. And new construction homes are often some of the biggest culprits of having mold toxicity in their homes.
So why is that?
They go up fast, right? Have you ever seen a new construction development? Those homes are dirt to finish within like 6 or 7 months. So there's not a lot of slowing down, letting that slab completely dry and cure, making sure the framing is dry. There's so much moisture that goes into a new construction home. And now with like energy efficiency requirements and building codes that are, you know, want really airtight homes, we create this really humid environment and it's airtight. So, you know, there can be mold issues in new construction homes. So just being aware, that's the first part, being aware that this is a potential problem within a new home. But also just construction across the board, contractor litigation, 70% of contractor litigation has to do with water intrusion issues. You just have to be aware of that because we have humans, like physical people with their hands building and working on your home. And there's just room for error. That just is the nature of it. But being aware, again, having that team that is going to oversee your project and safeguard you against these errors that maybe is going to catch them, right? We want to catch these errors before drywall goes up, so to speak.
My mom just built a house in our neighborhood. And so we got to watch it go up from our backyard. And unfortunately for that contractor, like there was somebody there every single day, whether it was me or my mom or my husband, right? There was somebody over on that site like, what's this? You forgot to do this. You didn't do this. And let me tell you how much they disliked that. But having said that, so grateful that we were so close in proximity because so many things went wrong that I truly believe would have been skipped over, not fixed, like slabs, floors, seals. There was a flood at one point where they already had the planks for the flooring on and they pulled them up and they were airing it out and they were like, oh, we're just going to reuse them. And I'm like, yeah, no, you're not. Like they were literally soaking in water for like 2 weeks. Like you're not going to just air these out and like put these planks back on the floor. Like that is absolutely unacceptable. And had there not been somebody there, that's just exactly what they would have done. And I don't think that people realize whether you're renovating or whether you're building that if you need to be there and if you don't have the experience or understanding to know what you're looking for, if you're investing in this home and you're going to live in this home, then you should invest in the help and the support and the guidance and the advice that somebody like you would provide because prevention is so much cheaper than something happening. And I've seen so much mold in my career. I work with people who do nothing. We do a lot of remediation in the world, the legal world that I live in. It's a huge problem. And I do think that people think new construction isn't affected. And so it's good for people to know that, no, actually, like it's probably one of the times where you need more of that support to make sure that it's done right to begin with.
Yeah. And I think there's this like false security in, oh, well, that city or county inspector, he's coming out and like signing off on the permit card, you know, that we've passed all of the inspections. Building codes now are really for like structural integrity, making sure the home is like structurally sound. And there is also a really big push for energy efficiency. So like a good example of that is you're required to have LED lighting in your kitchen. That's a building code. Is LED lighting really the healthiest thing for our bodies? No, but it's energy efficient. So that building inspector, he's there to sign up on the permit card and, you know, move on to the next thing. They're not there to check if the flooring got wet and needs to be replaced. So you have to have somebody that's going to be overseeing the project and checking for these kinds of instances, because what a healthy home means to you is going to be very different than what a healthy home means to that flooring installer. So you're relying on their judgment every step of the way, and it's just not enough.
So when you're on these sites, what are some of the things that you see are the common culprits, like things you see all the time and regularly that could lead to mold damage? Like, is it seals? Is it like, what are the things that you see that contractors skip over and cut corners on all the time? I'm getting like, give me the inside scoop here.
Let me ask you a question. Would you love to know how to read a label without being super confused about what ingredients you should be avoiding and which ones are clean? If you said yes, listen up. This is for you. I remember being that person standing in aisles at Target trying to read labels, and back then I had zero idea what I was looking for. I didn't know what a preservative was or an ethoxylated ingredient. It was all like reading a foreign language. But now that I'm a savvy label reader, I wanted to create a simple way to teach you how to read labels without being overwhelmed. That's why I created a resource I know you are going to love. It's a list of my top 25 toxins to avoid and my simple 3-step hack for reading labels. It's not just any hack. It's the exact same method that I use every single day to review products and read labels. And it's the same process I teach all of my students. With these 3 steps and a little bit of practice, you'll be able to tell within 90 seconds if a product is clean or not. I personally believe that everyone should have this skill. You can't be fooled by greenwashing and fancy marketing when you know how to look for ingredients you want to avoid. So whether you're just starting out on this toxin-free journey or you're a seasoned pro, this information is so valuable. And here's the best part. It's completely free. Just head over to www.toxinstoavoid.com. That's www.toxinstoavoid.com. Grab your download and start reading labels like a pro today.
One of my biggest pet peeves is when a contractor tells me, oh, that's just a little bit of lumber yard mold. Somebody in the construction industry came up with some idea that there's lumber yard mold and that it's different than toxic mold. It's not. I go to a project and all of the framing is up, and there's always something where I'm like, how did somebody pick up this almost black piece of lumber, install it, and think that that was acceptable? This needs to be removed. And that's why this lumber stage is really critical, because once that drywall goes up, you're not going to see it again. So we need to really have our eyes on everything at these like critical stages along your project. And that's why it is so important to be on your project. Like, a lot of homeowners really, right, understandably are not in the construction industry, right? And so they just defer to their contractor. They are the experts. They are the licensed contractor. But you can still be there and have a presence, have your eyeballs on what's going on in your project, and point out and say, hey, what's going on? Why does this lumber look like it has mold growing on it? This doesn't look right to me. That should be a conversation. That shouldn't just be like, oh, the contractor put in this lumber. They know what they're doing, so it must be fine.
Yeah, I think that this is a common issue. And I think it's kind of the same as akin to people don't want to question their doctor, and they don't want to question, you know, we have this idea that there's this authority, right? That these contractors are like, well, they know best. Who am I? Well, it's your freaking house. Like, that's who you are. Just like when it's a doctor, like, I have fired more doctors than I can even tell you. Like, it's my health. Right? So there's nobody that's more responsible for my health than me. And it's the same for a house. Like, there's nobody that cares more about the health of your home than you, the person who's going to be living in it. And I just think that people maybe need to hear that they have permission and that they should be asking these questions and having control over what is in their home.
Yes, absolutely. Right? These homes are often the biggest investment we're going to make. And we need to treat it like such. And that's a big piece of what I'm doing with my clients in these consulting meetings that we have, is just even giving them, like, you should be asking this question. I want you to go to your contractor and ask them this. Like, giving them permission to have these conversations with their contractor. And I see something really great happen when a homeowner starts asking questions or just wanting to be more informed. That contractor almost goes, oh, they know what's going on here. Like, they're going to
care.
They're gonna be here. every other day, and they're going to be looking at what's going on. So it does make the contractor perk up a bit more about, you know, making sure that they are really doing diligently what this homeowner is asking, right? They want a healthy home. So it's so important for a homeowner to be involved in their project.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's funny. I feel like you're the flip side of my coin, right? Like I talk all day long on this podcast and all over Instagram. And if you're on my email list, you get my emails. Like what you bring into your home matters so much for your health. But you are like, no, your home, your actual home, like the four walls of your home and everything that is in between your drywall and your piping and your foundations, like all everything that exists in there. You know, Americans spend like 80% of their lives indoors. I can sit and talk about air quality all day long, and we'll talk about that in a second. But you can, what's in your walls of your house that you're living in 80% of your day? It's so important. And I do think it's something that unless you already have mold disease and you've become aware of mold in your house, I think most people just don't even think about it.
Okay, so right. This is a misconception that I see pretty often is I don't have any mold because I don't see any mold in my home. But our home, especially when it comes to the indoor air quality, is the entirety of what we call the building envelope. So that's your attic space, this drywall. In between the drywall, we have an air cavity. We have framing in there. Like, is there a leak going on in between this air cavity? If you have a crawl space, right, you have air underneath your crawl space. So we need to consider the health really of the entire building envelope, because that's what really makes up the quality of our indoor air, not just what we can see.
Yeah, I think it's good. The awareness of that's really, really good. Okay, so mold. We just spent a lot of time talking about mold, but there's a lot of other things that go into what's in a house and construction and even decoration and the things that we do. And one of them that I know comes up a lot, and I've seen people ask you this question a lot, is paint. So let's talk a little bit about the paint in your house, because homes have a ton of paint in them. What's the deal with paint?
Right. So that's a big decision to make because it's covering all of these surfaces in our home. And I do see now almost this greenwashing effect when it comes to paint, right? We see almost everything saying low VOC, no VOC, but there's more to know about paint than just what's on the label. And so when selecting a paint, we really want to look at the specifications of it. And thankfully, paint manufacturers are required to provide something called a safety data sheet. And that's kind of the technical part of paint. It's kind of like a third-party testing, and it's going to show you what the chemical compounds are in that paint. It's also going to have hazard warnings. It's going to have really everything you want to know about the paint. So when selecting a paint, look at the safety data sheet, not just the label, because almost everything is saying low or no VOC. And there's really more that we need to know about a paint before we select it.
And I bet it's a lot like personal care products where there is no standard. Companies can probably just put whatever they want, you know, low, no, we're awesome, we're so green, we're so healthy. And there's really not a regulatory standard for that at all.
When it comes to like the labeling of it, I feel like, yeah, it's exactly what you're talking about. Like they could call it eco paint. Here's eco paint. You see a lot of that. Well, what does that actually mean? Or like what you're talking about when it comes to like personal care products, like it's like the plant-based. What does that actually mean? That doesn't always translate to actually being a healthy product. So we just need to, again, be our own advocates and look into the actual data behind a product before we're using it and covering all of the walls in our home with it.
So let's go behind the scenes a little bit. So we've talked about mold, we've talked about the air quality, we've talked about choosing paint. I think there's some people listening going, I wouldn't even know how to read a safety data sheet. So in your business and the core of like what you do and how you work, what is it like to work with somebody like you, because I have a feeling there are people listening going, oh my gosh, I need somebody way smarter than me or somebody who knows a lot more than me to like help walk me through these things and explain these things. So explain what a day of working with you looks like if you are a homeowner.
Okay. So interesting that you say that, because that's exactly what I want to change. I don't want a homeowner to not know what is going on in their home and just feel like, I don't know construction, so I don't know what's going on and I don't know what red flags to look for. That's what we're aiming to change, is to take the fear out of home building and renovating, take the confusion, all of these feelings that are leaving you feeling anything other than like joyful about the day that you get to move into your home. So empowering for you to understand what is going on in your home. So whether that's through me and the client working through educational points of what's going on in their project, or whether it's we're talking about different building material options. So, hey, my contractor says he's going to be using this pink insulation. Do you know anything about this? Like, is that a good product? Okay, well, let's talk about that. That pink insulation likely has formaldehyde in it and it has a paper back. So let's talk to the contractor about using this other product, you know, something that's maybe like a rock wool or a hemp wool. Like, there's lots of different insulation options. So let's make sure first that you, the homeowner, are informed on all of these options. And then let's work with your contractor. Let's get a price for both. Let's talk about the pros and cons. So it's really all of these building materials that are going in your home. Are they the best choice? Is there an alternative? What could we fit in the budget? Like, it's a really big overall view, and supporting the client in the way that they need to be supported. So in the end, there is a healthy home. So that's really the key to working with a construction consultant, is the oversight and letting the homeowner know red flags to look for. And at what points in construction should we be calling that home inspector or that mold inspector or whatever it may be? I really say, like, gone are the days when you just sign a contract with a contractor and say like, okay, I can't wait. I'm so ready to like move in. I'm excited. I've picked all of my tiles. I've, you know, picked the color of my cabinetry. Like, the rest is up to the contractor. That's not going to get you to a healthy home in the end, regardless of who the contractor is. You really have to be involved. And if you're fearful about being involved, we gotta change that. So you just need to be informed about really what's going on in your home, because you're pretty soon going to be living there, sleeping there, and spending a whole lot of time there. And you need to know what's going on in your home.
Here's the thing. I waited way too long to get a red light therapy device, and I don't want you to make the same mistake. It's been a total game changer for me. A few years back, I had never really even considered or knew what red light therapy was, but I was doing everything I could to heal from Hashimoto's, and I found some interesting studies showing how red light therapy could help improve thyroid antibodies, and that really piqued my interest. But what sealed the deal for me was the research also showing that it could do so much more, like smoothing skin, reducing signs of aging, decreasing inflammation, improving digestion, and even increasing collagen production. So after diving into the research, I finally took the plunge and I got myself a Lumbox. And let me tell you why I chose Lumbox out of all the options out there. First off, the quality is top notch. This little thing is powerful. Its luminosity is higher than any other handheld device that I have seen on the market. And it's portable, battery operated, and it's versatile. I can use it anywhere, anytime, anywhere on my body. Whether I'm targeting my thyroid, improving my gut health, or just giving my skin a boost, Lumbox does it all. Plus, it's zero EMF and it goes through rigorous third-party quality control, so I know I'm using something safe and effective. So if you're ready to take your thyroid health, your skincare, or just your overall wellness to the next level, you need a red light therapy device. Lumbox is the one that I trust, and it's the only one you'll need. And because I want you to experience these benefits too, I've teamed up with Loombox to offer you an incredible $260 off. That is a 40% off reduction from the regular price. Just head to the link in the show notes to grab yours. Trust me, this is one wellness tool you don't want to miss out.
Are you reading labels, but you don't even really know what you're looking at, let alone know which ones are toxic? And wondering if you really need to spend $8 on an all-natural cleaner made of nothing but vinegar? And how much of this marketing is just a bunch of greenwashing anyway? If you're confused, you are in good company. That was me when I first started detoxing my home. But now I've helped hundreds of families do it simply and without the overwhelm using my Tossing the Toxins roadmap. The best part, it is completely free. I wanted to create the perfect toxin-free cheat sheet and then give it away to anyone who wanted it. The roadmap walks you through what areas to focus on first that will give you the best bang for your health buck. You can download what I call the Toxic 20, which is my top 20 ingredients to avoid, right to your phone. It's jam-packed full of easy-to-follow steps on embracing a low-tox life. My only goal was to make it simple, like crazy simple. If you're ready to start detoxing your life, go download your free roadmap at www.tossingthetoxins.com. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the insulation. Do you find now that there are a lot more options and a lot more brands, like in the personal care market? I can throw a rock and hit a clean skincare brand, whereas 10 years ago, I had like four choices. Do you see that in the building and the construction industry where you can find insulation that is clean, that is not off-gassing formaldehyde, and these companies that are stepping in and filling a gap for consumers that they're asking for, which is cleaner products?
Yes, definitely. Just like with the skincare side of things, it's come a long way, right? Like clean foundation has changed tremendously.
Yes, it works now. They figured it out. Yeah.
But same thing with clean building products. There's options. There are options, but also we all have a budget, right? So I think that's a big aspect too. Like some people maybe feel overwhelmed, like I can't afford a healthy home. That means all of these new innovative products like this fancy pants stuff, but really good, clean, dry building products that are installed the way the manufacturer specifies perform really well. Like you don't have to have stud framing to prevent mold in your home. You don't. Clean lumber that's specified a certain way can be healthy. So it's taking out this like fantasized version of what a healthy home is, that it's something that's not attainable. It is. We just have to really kind of handhold every step of the way and make sure that everyone is on the same page and that we have these checks and balances in place and a lot of safeguards too, right? Because we can't just build or renovate our home. Okay, we have all of these great products. It's all healthy. Now let's, you know, just move on and we'll live in it for 10 years and just do our standard kind of cleaning. But no, we want to have these safeguards as well, like leak detecting systems or mats under our kitchen sink, right? If or when there is a leak, because there's always bound to be something, what safeguards do we have in place kind of as part of our leak management plan? What does that look like?
I love that. People are like, I need a leak management plan? What? Here's so people, my audience is learning so much right now. I love it. So let's move on to some other things that are in the house and talk about this really progressive movement towards smart homes. I see this all the time. And in the house that we just built, you know, my mom was like, I want a smart thermostat and I want a smart this and I want a smart that. And I am like the anti-smart all the things. Like my kids, I'm like, you want an Amazon what? No. Nothing's going to be talking to you in your bedroom. And also, do you understand the Wi-Fi and EMF involved in all of that? So let's talk a little bit about where that world is in the construction world and how you feel about smart, you know, whether it's a smart refrigerator or smart, there's smart everything, I feel like.
There is. And there's a big push and a big demand for it, right? They're creating these products because a lot of people are buying them. But really, we are bombarded every day, whether we're at work or school or just out shopping. There's just a tremendous overload of EMFs and radiation. And I really want to create a space that when you come home, you just unwind, your nervous system kind of unwinds and relax, and that it is a healthy space to where you're not feeling overstimulated, right? And there's a lot of layers that go into that. And sometimes it can be as simple as just minimizing, like decluttering. Are you walking through your front door and feeling like overwhelmed just even by the amount of stuff, clutter, decor even that you have? You could even just start there for free. But when it comes to what you're talking about, like EMFs and smart homes, think about if you really need it, right? Do we need the smart refrigerator, the smart stove, the smart thermostat, the smart cameras, the smart TVs? Like, you can see how this just quickly escalates. And then think about, like, what do you really need? I can understand the smart doorbell, right? There's a lot of things, you know, that security-wise, but they have hardwired security cameras that you can get. So you can hardwire some security cameras. You can hardwire a thermostat. You can hardwire a TV. So that's really the goal. It's not to like live in this home that you're not proud of and it doesn't function for you. It's just thinking about like, where can we pare down? Because we're just bombarded with it every day. So if you are considering hardwiring these things during a renovation or new build, and hardwiring is referring to like the Ethernet cable that's going to connect to your router and then all the way, let's say, to your TV. So right there, we eliminate the need for Wi-Fi because we're hardwiring it there. When you're hardwiring it, the industry's done something really great for us because everyone wants faster internet. Well, the benefit to that is it's less emission. So it's just really encased. And what that's called is shielding. So if you're going to hardwire something, consider doing shielded or double shielded Cat6. Benefit is you'll have faster internet, but it's also less emission throughout your home. So that's a good way to just kind of, in a way, dumb down your home, right? Have less of a
smart home. Right. No, you want a dumb home. You don't want a smart home.
Dumb home with a little doorbell and, you know, nothing fancy, but really just think about what you need. If you truly need it, then of course I understand. But there's also things that we can do that some people may not even be aware of that is on their home that is emitting radiation, like the smart meters, right? The smart meters, that's, some people don't even know that they are on their home. And to a smart meter, you'll see, is on your electrical panel up at the top, and that's emitting a signal back and forth to the utility company. Well, you can just give them a call in most cases and ask them, hey, can you change this back to an analog meter? In most cases, you know, there's an additional cost with that, but they'll get you back to an analog meter. So it's, again, just making these like small little changes throughout your home to just lessen your burden overall.
I am so glad you brought that up because I talk about smart meters on the internet a lot. People are like, oh, you just should get a tinfoil hat with that. But here's the thing, your smart meter on your house, people don't realize this. It is transmitting your electric usage back to your electricity company all day long. Like every minute, they're all different as far as like their frequency, but it's all day long. And it is a high amount of EMF. There's a lot of radiation involved. And if you're somebody who has a smart meter that's like on the wall of your house and it's like right outside your bedroom or near a living space or a living area, just by being that close proximity, it's a problem. And then all the things you just said. So if you walk into your house and just like every standard American family, right, we all have Wi-Fi. We all have boosters everywhere because we have a bunch of adults who work from home and everyone has a cell phone and now kids have laptops for school and now kids have cell phones. So there's like 9 devices, you know, at a time on. So you've got Wi-Fi, you've got those net systems, you've got smart meters, you've got breaker boxes. And then if you add to that Amazon, what are those things little called? Alexas. there's Alexas, you know, everyone's got an Alexa in their room. And you've got your, you know, you can play your music by telling Siri to play something. And then on top of it, if you add, you know, a Ring doorbell and now you've got a smart stove, all of a sudden you now have a home that is supposed to be this sanctuary and you're just being bombarded with all this radiation. And people wonder why they can't sleep at night or they're anxious or they're fatigued or they're, and I don't think people realize the impact that all of that has on their body and that that is a very real toxic burden to them.
Yeah. It's this compounding effect, right? We have these toxic cleaning products in our home, toxic building materials. It's just a compounding effect. So the more that we can just reduce, and then evaluate how you're feeling along the way, like it, maybe you need to be reducing more than your neighbor does. So I really look at homes as like a prescriptive approach. What's working for somebody else in their home is going to be different in your home, right? It's just the same thing with like healthcare, right? When you're working with a practitioner, you need to have an individualized plan for your home that's specific to maybe your health history or any illnesses that you have. Lots of different things that need to be taken into consideration when selecting materials for your home. I can't just say every home should have this underlayment for their floor. Well, we can't say that. We need to know, do you have a slab foundation or do you have a raised foundation? Does your slab have a moisture barrier underneath it before it was poured? So there's so many nuanced details that go into making the right selections for your home that it's really not about just like picking a green product, you know, off of the shelves and putting it in your home. They all work together. So
your home is bio-individual. It really is.
Your home,
all of it.
Yeah, the EMF thing is a big topic, just like mold is. And it's not just about the smart meters and the Wi-Fi. Like, there's a really big push, especially in building codes, to be really energy efficient, which is a great thing. But we have to look at what the trade-off is. So if we're one that's sensitive to overstimulation or maybe ADHD or getting migraines and headaches, LED lighting can be playing a role in that. It's possible. So LED lighting is great for energy efficiency and not great for our health. So that's one of those areas where I talk about, you know, your city or county inspector who's coming. They're looking to make sure that you have energy efficient lighting. They're not really concerned with your health when it comes to lighting. So a fun kind of trick or test you could do at home, because LED lighting has something called a rapid flicker. It's so rapid that it's invisible to the naked eye, so to speak. So if you take your phone and you set it to slow-mo, the slow-mo recording setting, and you just record an LED light in your home, you can go back and play it. And in that slow-mo portion, if you're seeing the lighting flicker, that's an indication that you do have flicker lighting. So thankfully,
I'm going to go do that. I'm actually really excited to do that because I do know that we have lighting is one of the things in this past year that I've really taken seriously. I love the company Boncharge. They make great like biohacking stuff and they have no flicker. You know, it's amber and then it's white and then it's red at night. Like it has all of the different ways. I have red lights on our nightstand. So as soon as the sun goes down, you know, all of our regular lighting goes off, our red lights go on. We look like the red light district or something. But it's been a really big part of my like holistic healing in Hashimoto's journey over the last year. And in my research, I was reading, because we have two of our lights that they're incandescent, but they're on dimmers. And I was learning all about dirty electricity. And this like completely blew my mind that if you've got a fluorescent bulb, it can flicker up to 20,000 times a second. And then on the dimmer switch, what happens when it flickers is it actually surges in a higher hertz that is like this immediate wavelength that is harmful. And I was like, people have no idea how, like, we just walk into our house and turn our lights on. That's literally the extent of the thought process that I went through my entire life. And it's been a really fascinating kind of hole to go down. But I will say that since I've switched out our lighting, I sleep better. And I've done a lot of other things too, but like, I'm calmer. My evenings are so nice. I lay on my PEMF mat and we have our like red lights going. And it's just this sanctuary of a home to live in. And I love it.
That is the goal, right? We shouldn't be having these like bright blue LED lights on and then we turn them off and we lay in bed and toss and turn for an hour thinking like, well, why can't we go to sleep? Like, our home should be a sanctuary, especially when it comes to our bedroom, right? We should get some really good restorative sleep. And if we're not, that's a good indicator to start looking at what's going on in our home. Like, maybe just changing the lighting in your bedroom before you go to bed at night, like eliminating LEDs in the bedroom. If we could just start there. But it's like what you're saying, like your health and how you're feeling is a good way to see what's going on in your home if something's up.
I feel like we've introduced topics that, you know, again, you're like the flip side of me. It's like what you build your home with and where you have things placed in your home, the material that you're choosing is just like an extension of what you bring into your home. And all of it contributes to your overall health and well-being. Is there anything else, any other like off the top of your head, like, oh, this is a big one, or, oh, this is something you should really consider when it comes to your home? I know there's probably so
many
much.
Components that go into building. And that's why the sooner that you can be working with a team, the better. I've certainly worked on projects where I come in mid-construction and everyone's hair is on fire and, you know, we're trying to resolve it. And I have to tell you, it's so much more difficult then and costly than if you just start from the beginning and get it right from the beginning. Building a healthy home really comes down to the entire home. So we can't really just pick and choose or like have really good waterproofing in the bathroom and then, you know, forget about it in the kitchen. It comes down to everything. It's your building materials. It's your air quality. It's your furniture that you're using a lot of, even just like bathroom vanities. They have a ton of off-gassing. Like if you put a bathroom vanity in, you know, that's full of particle board, it's going to off-gas for a tremendous amount of time. So it really comes down to intentionally selecting really every piece that is coming into your home. Building materials, furniture, plants, like everything. If you're going to bring it into your home, make sure that it's contributing to the health of your home and not causing the needle to move in the other direction. And that also goes along with, you know, I see a big push for like minimizing and living more simply, having less stuff. That goes along with it too. Just having less clutter, less things for us to maintain in our home is a good thing because everything that we have is going to require some level of cleaning or dusting or moving or shifting around to get to something else. So just consider your home a sanctuary. And how are you going to achieve that? Through construction? Or maybe you're in a stage where you're not doing a renovation or new build. What can you do today to minimize your toxic burden in your home, feel less overstimulated, and just have less things to manage in your home?
I love that. That's such a good message. Baby steps. Do what you can, where you can, how you can. Progress is progress. Better is better. I think there is an overwhelming aspect of, and I know even when I talk about toxin-free products, and I'm sure when you're talking to homeowners and you know, even people who are working as contractors, there's an overwhelm that sets in like, oh gosh, there's so much that could be wrong or could make me sick. But just focus on the things that you can do something about. And that goes a really long way. So how can my audience find you? By the way, everyone needs to follow her because she's a blast on social media to follow. But where can people find you? And what are the ways that people can work with you? I know you said right now you're only consulting in Southern California. Is that the only way to work with you?
So the best way to connect with me is Instagram. So I'm at Holistic Homes by Christine on Instagram. Physically building here in SoCal isn't going to work for everybody. So that's why I am consulting for different clients in the US. So you can reach out to me. You can send me a DM. My calendar does book up pretty quickly for one-on-one consulting. But I do also host classes, live classes and small group trainings where we can get together small and intimately and really answer specific questions to your project, right? Like I had talked about, I can't just give you a blanket, you know, list of product recommendations to pass off to your contractor. We really need to be working intimately as close as we can to talk about your home, your climate zone, your, you know, environment that you're trying to build. So I do have these group trainings, working one-on-one if you're doing a renovation or new build. And then I also really try to provide as much just free content on Instagram, trying to provide little tidbits here and there, or like, hey, red flag to look out for in the framing stage, or here's a, you know, leak management that you can do for your dishwasher in case it floods. So Instagram's the way, best way to find me.
I love it. I'm going to tag and put all of your information in the show notes so everybody can find you. And I just want to finish this interview by saying, one, I love seeing you behind the scenes on a construction site because women belong on construction sites. Like, I have so much respect and love watching you because not only are you trying to change the construction space, but you're doing it as a woman, which is amazing. We are all about women changing the world here. So thank you so much for coming on. You have been such a joy. And seriously, people, go follow her on Instagram.
Thank you.
You, my friend, have officially finished another episode of the Detox Dilemma podcast. And if you want more, head over to wendycatherine.com to get all the show notes and links to discount codes from our amazing partners. If you're looking for something specific to help you detox your home, make sure you check out my toxin-free shopping guide at toxinfreeshoppingguide.com. It's organized by category and makes detoxing your home simple. I'll see you next week. And until then, I hope your life is getting just a little less toxic.